Thank you, Brother Genway. It's a real joy to be here this evening in this prayer and Bible conference. Praise God. This seems more like a camp meeting to me. I've certainly sensed the nearness, the presence of the Master in this place. Praise God. Just don't get too excited or too nervous out there, because I've prayed this earnest prayer. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. Heard one man say he thought that every good sermon should have a very good beginning. It should also have a good ending, and he don't believe there should be too much space in between. And I am somewhat inclined to believe it. Praise God. It's a real joy to be here this evening, and we want to just follow the divine direction tonight of the Holy Spirit of God. A couple of the West Texas ministers asked me this afternoon, maybe this morning, if I would preach the sermon that I preached last week at the fellowship meeting in Amarillo. Another lady asked me if I would preach the sermon I preached in their church last Sunday night. Well, I don't know for sure just what I'm going to do until I do it and then sit down. But I like what the wise man tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. He said to cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. And he said, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. In verse number 4, he said, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. If you should have an amplified translation, verse 4 would read on this wise. He that observeth the wind and waits until all conditions are favorable. I believe that there are a lot of people in this hour that are waiting for favorable conditions. But I'm persuaded, neighbor, that if we wait until all conditions are favorable, then we would be waiting a long time. In the natural realm, if the farmer waited until the moisture content was just like he wanted it, if he waited until the temperature of the soil was just like he wanted it, if he waited until the moon was in proper position, if he waited until all signs were favorable, he would be waiting a long time. What is true in the natural realm is true in the spiritual realm. And I believe we need to cast our bread upon the waters, for we shall find it after many days. In the 138th division of the Psalm, in verse number 1, I hear the words of the psalmist when he said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all of thy name. If you magnify something, that means you hold it in greater respect or esteem. So that's what the psalmist actually said, that God esteems his word, or he holds it in greater respect or esteem that he does all his name. I believe if there ever was a time that we preach the infallible, undiluted, unmitigated truths of the Word of God, it's in this day and hour in which we live. I like that portion of God's Word that our General Superintendent gave us last night. I'd like to back up just a little bit to verse 5. He said, let this mind, that's Philippians 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What's going to happen, Mabel, eventually? Why not let it happen then? A number of years ago in camp meeting in Lubbock, Texas. Brother Bracy Greer was our evening evangelist. He preached from the subject that night, eventually, why not now? On the stack of a gold medal flower are those words, eventually, why not now? The makers of gold medal flower felt like that eventually every housewife in America would be using gold medal flower. Since they're going to eventually, why not now? He used the scripture that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. That's going to happen, sir, eventually. And aren't you glad that it's already happened to you? Your knees have already bowed. Your tongues have already confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Eventually, that's going to happen. The inhabitants of three worlds are going to fall on bended knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, I got sidetracked a little bit. The next verse says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and complaining, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And the next verse he said, in holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I'm not running vain, neither labored in vain. I believe we need to hold it forth, neighbor, in these dark hours in which we live. For the psalmist declared in the 119th Psalm, verse 105, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my pathway. In the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse number 19, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that keep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, the living for the dead, and to the law and to the testimony? He said, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no life in them. I believe we need to speak according to this book, neighbor, because there's life in this book. There's life in this book tonight. Hallelujah. We need to speak according to this word. Missionary to a field in India. That missionary's name was Alexander Duff. But there's a story behind Alexander Duff going to India. Alexander Duff loaded all of his earthly possessions on board ship. He had an 800-volume library, and he carried that along to the land of his calling, to the fields of India. But before Alexander Duff and the passengers on board that ship arrived in India, that ship struck a rock just off of the Cape of Good Hope and went down to a watery grave. Alexander Duff lost every earthly possession that he had. He lost his 800-volume library, had nothing. There he stood on the sandy shores just off of the Cape of Good Hope. He looked up to God and he said, Father, would you allow me to retrieve just one item in all of this loss that I've sustained? He looked out across those slapping waves and he saw an object bobbling on the water. He waited, and each succeeding wave brought it a little closer to the shore. When it was close enough, Alexander Duff walked out on the edge of the water to retrieve that bobbling object. And to his amazement and surprise, it was his own personal Bible that he had preached out of so many times. He had read some comforting truths so many times. And Alexander Duff, wet and cold to the bone, standing there on the sandy shores just off of the Cape of Good Hope, he thumbed through the soggy pages of that old book until he came to the 107th division of the Psalm. And beginning verse number 23, he read to the survivors there on the sandy shores these words: "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord." Hallelujah! "And his wonders in the deep." And neighbor, I am persuaded that the church of the living God is doing business tonight in great waters. Hallelujah! I believe the church of the living God is marching forward a militant, triumphant, victorious, hallelujah, over all of the powers of the enemy. Hallelujah! He's not coming back after a little weak, anemic widow. He's coming back after a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God! Hallelujah! We're doing business tonight, sir, in great waters. These be the works of the Lord. Oh, and his wonders in the deep. I'm feeling better now. Think of what my direction. Hallelujah! I believe we're doing business tonight, neighbor, in great waters. And the Bible said, "These the wonders of the Lord. They are the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." I want you to know, neighbor, you've got to get out in the deep if you're going to see the works of the Lord. If you're going to see God perform wonders. And may I pause to suggest to you tonight that I believe we're serving a wonder-working God. Hallelujah. I believe we're serving a wonder-working God. God's still in the business tonight, just like he's always been. You may say, "Well, Brother Farmer, what is the need to see wonders in our day?" Well, I believe that God wants to perform wonders. I believe God wants a triumphant and a victorious church. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." God wants the church to have some glory, neighbor, in this day and hour in which we live. Hallelujah. You may say, "Well, what is a wonder?" A wonder is something that causes people to marvel, or astonishment, or amazement. Something that's out of the ordinary. And neighbor, I'm persuaded that the tragedy of our day is that nothing happens that we can't explain. Very little happens that we can't explain. But I want you to know, neighbor, if we'll get out in the deep waters, hallelujah, God has promised that if we'll do business in great waters, we'll see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. When Peter preached that memorable sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22, here's a little excerpt. He said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. He being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken in the wicked hands of crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, for it was not possible," hallelujah, "that he should be holden of it." And Peter again used that word. If you'll back up a little bit, in verse number 19, after he had stood up with the 11, and said, "These men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." But he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaids, will I pour out in those days from my spirit, and they shall prophesy. He said in verse number 19, I will show wonders, hallelujah, in the heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke, before that great and notable day of the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't see this paddling along in shallow water. They that go down to the sea and ships that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. I like that story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Didn't have my Wheaties with me. Out of shape. Still in deep water tonight. Hell of it. But it came to pass as the people pressed on him. I like that. To hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Then he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, or when he was finished teaching, he saith unto Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your net for a draught. Simon wanted to argue with him. He said, Master, we have toiled all night, taking nothing. Somebody's well said, anything that begins with we always ends with nothing. We have toiled all night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, never where you find that little word, it's notwithstanding or in spite of. In spite of the fact that we toiled all night and taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word I will. Hallelujah. Let down the net. He's out in the deep now. Hallelujah. He'd have brought up an empty net if he'd have cast it out there in that shallow water by the shoreline. But he had launched out in the deep. When he let down the net, the Bible said, enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so that the net began to break. They summoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them, and they came. Thank God tonight we're partners in this thing, even. Hallelujah. He didn't try to load up all those fishes on his little boat and take off and say, look what I've done. He beckoned to his partner. Thank God for partners tonight. Hallelujah. We're laborers together. Hallelujah. We don't have big eyes and little ears. Hallelujah. He beckoned to his partner, fellow missionary, and he came. And they filled both of those ships full so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from us. For I'm a sinful man, O Lord, for the Bible said he was astonished. And that's a wonder. Hallelujah. He was astonished at the draught of fishes which they had taken, so also with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners together with Simon. I like the way the story ends. And when they brought the ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Hallelujah. They got it out in the deep, maybe. He launched out in the deep. Notice the progression here. He launched out a little. But then when he launched out in the deep, he let down his nets for a draught. The Bible says in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I heard Job as he cries out in chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, I would seek unto God. Unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number.
neighbor, God doesn't even keep a record a lot of times of the great things that he does. Hallelujah. We can see those things if we'll learn out in the book. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and I'll not take much time. That's the story of the parable of the sower that went out to sow. There were four different types of sower, but in verse number 5, if I mistake not, some of the seed fell on stony places which had not much deepness of earth. You know what happened to it? Because there was no deepness, there was no depth. I want you to know, neighbor, until you dig down beyond the veneer and the surface of this life. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24, Jesus said, "Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, "He that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not, I liken him to a foolish man." He's a foolish man, but wise enough to know he needs a house, and foolish enough to think that anywhere builder is okay. But then here a lot of people are making in this house. Philosophy of our day is it doesn't make any difference what you believe, just as long as you're sincere. I heard of a family, one of the members of that family died because they were sincere and made some toast. I heard of a family, and one of the members of that family died because they in sincerity ate some toad food. They thought it was mushrooms. They were sincere, but they were just as dead. You can be sincerely wrong. Hallelujah. We need some steps, neighbor, in this hour. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, as it is written, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which the Lord hath prepared for them that love him, but he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Hallelujah. I believe we need to do some business in great waters tonight, neighbor. You can be satisfied with a shallow experience if you will, but I'm here to tell you that there's a deeper experience in God. In the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, that chapter is meets and bounds. It's a chapter of measurement. You know the story well, how that the waters were issuing out from under the threshold of that eastern door. He followed those waters as they made their way down through the trackless wastes of the desert. And the Bible said, "Whithersoever the river went, it brought life." Hallelujah. I want you to know, neighbor, wherever this life-giving water goes, it's going to bring life. Oh, hallelujah. I wish I had made that foolish vow a little bit ago. Hallelujah. There was a man with a measuring line in his hand. He measured the waters, and the waters were up to the ankle. He went down 1,000 cubits and measured again. Water was up to the knees. He went a little further and measured 1,000 cubits, and the water was up to the loins. And then he measured 1,000, and the water was a great river that could not be crossed over. I submit to you tonight, neighbor, that that means, among a lot of other things, that there are deeper experiences in God if you'll dare go down the river a little bit further. Hallelujah. If you'll dare to go forward and go on in God, there are experiences out there that we know nothing about. They that go down to the steamship that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, his wonders in the deep. Before I left my church in Midland, First Assembly in Midland, we had an engineer in our church, a brilliant intellectual man, and that's all he wanted to talk about is his engineering knowledge. And of course, I had very little knowledge along that line, among some other lines, so it was kind of boring to me. But I learned a lot from that man. He said, "We're doing now what we call undersea mining. Out there where the water is 4 and 5 miles deep in the ocean." He said, "We're doing a lot of undersea mining. We have instruments now that can go out in that real deep water and sweep the ocean floor." He said, "On that ocean floor out there, even in that deep water, there are little nodules about the size of a hickory nut. In those little nodules contain precious minerals, like nickel and some other precious minerals. And though this has cost a tremendous amount of money to do this, it's still worth it because those precious, priceless nodules out there on the ocean floor, thank God for a mechanism that can sweep up those precious nodules out there. Well, neighbor, I'm persuaded that in the vast ocean of God's amazing grace, hallelujah, there's some nodules of truth tonight, neighbor. If we are all down in the deep, we can sweep up some precious nodules of faith that'll enrich our lives and enhance us as we travel along the journey. Oh, hallelujah. These see the works of the Lord, His wonders in the deep. I read about a submarine that went out for a test run. It went out in some of this real deep water and submerged in this deep water. Stayed for several days, and when they came back, the first question they were asked, "How did you make out in the storm?" And they looked astonished and they said, "Storm? What storm?" They didn't know there was a storm raging out there because they were submerged in that deep, peaceful water. Hallelujah! Neighbor, I believe there's a place in God. Hallelujah! I let that storm keep me safe until the storm passes by. Hallelujah! Till the storm passes over and the thunder sound no more and the clouds roll forever from the sky. Keep me safe in the hollow of your hand, Lord. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. I hope I'm not blessing you out there. Hallelujah. Feels good up here. Hallelujah. 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 I want to see some deep things in your eyes. We're doing business tonight, church. Ministers, we're in great waters tonight. We can expect to save the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to see something happen next Sunday in your services? That would be hard to explain other than God did that. Hallelujah. We had a man in our church in Midland a few years ago. I appreciate what our brother said this morning about allowing a root of bitterness. That's dangerous, neighbor. It can destroy you. That's what happened to this young man when he was just a young lad of a boy, about 17. He allowed a root of bitterness to come between him and his pastor. He never got it out. This thing continued to work on him day and night. His family was broken up. He had lost his earthly possessions, had no job, had gotten on drugs. He was down in Killeen, Texas. A man about 6 feet tall, but he weighed 119 pounds. His hair grown out in a page boy style, and his fingernails must have looked like Nebuchadnezzar. Must have looked. He took 5 hits of LSD. He said, "I'm going to end it all." But he had a mother, brothers, and sisters back home that was holding on the ground. God set you up. God saved him. He was in a coma. That should have killed him. 5 hits of LSD. He was in a coma for 48 hours. He said, "The devil laughed in my face." He said, "If that ain't make the hair stand up on your neck." He said, "The devil laughed a little laugh in my face. Said, I've got you where I want you. I've destroyed your spirit. I've destroyed your mind. He said, I'm going to destroy your body. I've got you here now. But he said, even though he was in a semi-conscious condition, in this coma, back in the back of his mind, he heard a voice that said, I won't let you go. I won't let you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There were some people doing some business in Gray Waters, neighbor. When he finally came out of that coma after 48 hours, how he had presence of mind enough to call his mother and his sister's number in Midland, Texas. I don't know, but he did. He said, I'm going to dial this number and if nobody answers, I'll find someone to end it all. But the first time he dialed that number, his sister immediately picked it up on the other end of the line and said, hello, Robert. We've been praying for you. Hallelujah. That's doing business in Great Waters, neighbor. You see wonders in the days. You see God do work. Hallelujah. When you're doing business in Great Waters. Hallelujah. To make a long story short, Robert came back to Midland. Came into church one Sunday night and knelt down, gave his heart to God. A few nights later, he was knelt over by the organ speaker on the side of the building. He was having flashbacks. And somehow, I didn't know I did all of this, but I went over and prayed for him. If you can remember to this day what it said, I don't remember it. But I must have been inspired of the Lord to pray the prayer that I did. He said, my God, I know you saved me. I want you to take this from me. I don't think that a Christian should have flashbacks. And he said, that poison of the drugs and the marijuana that you smoked and all of this poison just began to exude from the pores of his skin. He began to spit this up. Hallelujah. God took it out. He went in the bathroom one morning to shave. He was singing some old hymn of the church. Tears began to formulate in the corner of his eyes and trickle down his cheeks. And in a little bit, he was talking in a language that he had never known. Hallelujah. And until this day, this is one of the greatest prayer warriors in that church or any other church in the area. A man that is in tune with God. I want you to know, neighbor, when you do business in Great Waters, you're going to see the works of the Lord. And his wonders in the booth. Hallelujah. I was on the program one night with Captain Levere from Houston, the captain of the police force. A number of years has come and gone now since God gloriously healed him. He was dying with a malignant condition. But thank God, neighbor, somebody was doing business in Great Waters. These through the works of the Lord. His wonders in the booth. Hallelujah. I'd like to see a few of them in our day. I'd like to see God do the miraculous. I do not believe that planet Earth has ever been plagued any more than she is tonight. It has a multiplicity. The coin swaggered phrase here, it has a multiplicity, a multitudinous multitude of problems. Problems everywhere. Even our Christian families are not exempt. I believe God's going to do some wonders before this service is over. I feel a holy solemnity here tonight. I believe the chariots of God's divine mercy are beginning to hover low. And I want to follow divine leadership tonight of the Holy Spirit. I can honestly say tonight in the last few weeks or months, I've seen a greater response than I've seen in all of the days of my preaching. Even though people are plagued with a multiplicity of problems, we have a resource and we have a source. And thank God that men and women are yielding to God. and are reaching out after that help. I want us to have the musicians here in just a little bit. I feel like I better come in here for a landing in just a moment. But I feel a witness of the Spirit to go in this direction tonight. I believe that there are 6 problem areas. Very few of our families, even church families, are exempt from one of these problems. If you do not have a problem in any of these areas that I'm about to mention, you better thank God for the high heaven. You are blessed of God. Area number 1, surely in an audience like this problem wouldn't be very much, but in the marriage relationship, there are problems galore. Our church families are not exempt. And I bow my head to tell you that the ministry is not exempt. If you do not have a problem tonight, neighbor, in your marriage relationship, you better thank God you're blessed. Area number 2 is children. How many moms and dads tonight whose hearts are crushed and bleeding and broken because of a son or a daughter? I preached the homecoming for a very good friend of mine not long ago. He was telling me of a mutual friend of ours, a young man that I've known ever since each of us just a boy. A man passed his church. His son had gotten involved in the drug world. Either took his own life or was murdered, they weren't sure. Their daughter had something in her very gross state of immorality. His hair was white. Not because of the frost of many women, but because he the cornless of his face in turn, he said he's choosing his principles. All across our land and country tonight, moms and dads' hearts are broken. If you don't have a problem tonight, neighbor, in relationship to your children, you're blessed of God. You're blessed of God. Area number 3, in this spiraling inflationary day in which we live, a lot of us could have trouble in this area, and that's the financial area. If you do not have a serious problem financially tonight, maybe you're blessed. Area number 4, and I'm hesitant to mention this, but it's true as sure as I'm standing behind this podium right now, and that's church-related problems. In some of our larger cities where you have a lot of churches, there are people that say, I can't go to this church, I can't go to that church, I can't worship with these people. Church-related problems all across the country. You do not have a problem in this area, you're blessed of God. Area number 5 is employment. How many people would say, if I just didn't have to work in the environment that I'm in, if I could just change jobs? But they have a problem in this area of employment. And last of all, number 6, the area of health. How many precious, healthy spirits cannot reside in bodies that are wrapped in pain? Some in this room right now.